Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're really getting into something big for the future of driving. Hydrogen power. Is it going to become, mainstream?
And we've got some interesting analysis to guide us from Hydrogen Informs.
Right. So what's the headline takeaway?
Well, the big number is this. The global market for hydrogen fueling stations. It's projected to hit around $2.88 billion by 2030.
Wow. Okay. $2.88 billion. That sounds like a lot. How does that compare to now?
It's a huge leap. Consider this. In 2023, the market was valued at about $589.87 million. So, yeah, significant growth. A CAGR of 25.44%.
Okay, that's definitely explosive growth. So let's unpack this. What's actually driving that kind of expansion?
It really boils down to two main forces working together. First, you've got the rising demand for fuel cell vehicles, FCVs. People and businesses are looking for alternatives.
Right, FCVs.
And second, governments across the globe are seriously backing clean energy. They're putting initiatives in place, and hydrogen is, well, it's a pretty central piece of that puzzle.
And just to remind everyone listening, the really neat thing about these FCVs is what comes out the tailpipe.
Exactly, just water vapor, that's it.
So it's not just another option. It could be genuinely key for sustainable transportation. Okay, let's dig into these market opportunities then. Why are hydrogen fueling stations suddenly such a hot topic?
Well, I think there's a growing awareness, across the board, industries, consumers, about environmental concerns, climate change, air quality.
It's hard to ignore.
Exactly. And that's being backed up by stricter emissions regulations almost everywhere. So the pressure is really on to find and adopt zero emission vehicles.
Okay, the push is there. So how do hydrogen FCVs fit in? Why is it seen as a workable alternative now?
They're definitely emerging as a viable choice. They offer things like quick refueling times, often just a few minutes, similar to gasoline.
Yeah, that's a big plus compared to some EVs.
Right, and good driving ranges too. So for certain uses, maybe long haul or heavy booty, they have some potential advantages. But, and this is the crucial part for them to be practical for anyone, you absolutely need the refueling infrastructure.
The stations.
The stations. You can't have widespread adoption if people can't easily fill up their tanks,
Yeah, it's that classic chicken and egg thing, isn't it? You need the cars for the stations, but you need the stations for the cars. So how are governments stepping in to break that cycle?
Governments are playing a really critical role here. They're implementing supportive policies, things like tax credits for buying FCVs, subsidies for companies willing to build the stations.
Okay. Incentives.
Exactly. And also significant investment in R&D research and development. It's all aimed at encouraging the private sector, basically saying, okay, we'll help de-risk this. Let's get this infrastructure built.
Smart. So it's not just hoping demand appears, it's actively trying to cultivate it. What about the tech side? Is the technology itself getting better, cheaper, easier to use?
Absolutely. There's been really encouraging progress on several fronts. How hydrogen is generated, how it's stored safely, and how it's dispensed into vehicles.
So improvements across the board.
Yes. And these innovations are leading to better efficiency and critically lower costs. Lowering the cost is absolutely key for making hydrogen competitive and speeding up adoption.
And what specific tech leaps are making a difference on the ground? You mentioned maybe station design.
Yeah, that's a really interesting one. We're seeing the development of more compact, modular station designs. Think like prefabricated units.
Okay, modular. So easier to set up.
Much easier, especially in cities, where space is always tight and expensive. These designs overcome a pretty big logistical hurdle for urban deployment.
Ah, I see. That makes putting stations where drivers actually are much more feasible. Okay, that's helpful. Now, let's switch gears a bit. This market isn't monolithic, right? There are different kinds of stations.
Not at all. It's quite segmented, really, depending on the need. One way to slice it is by station size.
I see.
So you have small stations. These are typically designed for light-duty vehicles, passenger cars. They have more limited hydrogen storage and are often suited for those urban environments we just talked about.
Got it. Smaller footprint, city convenience. What's next?
Then you've got mid-sized stations. These can cater to a broader mix, still light-duty cars, but maybe also some medium-duty vehicles, like delivery vans, perhaps. Mm-hmm. They strike a balance between storage capacity and the physical space the station takes up.
Okay, a bit more versatile, supporting maybe individual drivers and some smaller commercial fleets?
Potentially, yes. And then the third category is large stations. These are really built with fleets and heavy-duty vehicles in mind. Think trucks, buses.
They're big rigs.
Exactly. So they need much greater hydrogen storage capacity and often have multiple dispensers to handle the quick turnaround times needed for commercial operations.
Right. Got to keep those fleets moving. Okay, that covers scale. How else can we break down this market? What about where the hydrogen actually comes from?
That's another key differentiator, the supply type. You have offsite production. This is where hydrogen is produced somewhere else, maybe a large industrial facility, and then transported to the station.
Like gasoline delivery now, basically.
Sort of, yeah. This is common in areas where you already have some hydrogen production or pipeline infrastructure nearby. It leverages existing capabilities.
Okay. And the alternative?
The alternative is on-site production. Here, the hydrogen is generated right there at the fueling station. Usually, this is done through electrolysis.
Electrolysis?
Yeah.
Using electricity to split water.
Exactly. H2O into H2NO. This offers potentially greater energy independence for the station and avoids the costs and, importantly, the emissions associated with transporting hydrogen. If the electricity used is renewable, it can be a very clean pathway.
Interesting. So a more localized, potentially greener approach.
Mm-hmm.
What about pressure? I hear about different pressure levels, like 700 bar. What's that about?
Yes, pressure is another important factor. So high pressure systems, typically 700 bar, that's mostly for passenger cars.
Why high pressure for cars?
Because higher pressure allows you to store more hydrogen gas in the same volume tank on the car. More hydrogen means a longer driving range. It's about packing more fuel in.
More compression, more miles.
I gotcha.
So what's the lower pressure used for? 350 bar.
Right. 350 bar is more common for heavier duty vehicles, trucks, and buses. They often have larger tanks or different tank designs that work well with this lower pressure. The energy density needs are different.
Okay, so the vehicle type kind of dictates the pressure needed.
Yeah.
Any other ways to categorize these stations? Fixed versus mobile?
Yeah, that's another one. Fixed stations are what you'd typically imagine permanent locations. You'd expect to see these becoming common in cities and along major highways as the market grows. The reliable spots drivers count on.
Like a regular gas station today. And mobile.
Mobile stations are, well, mobile. They're often trailer-mounted systems. Mm. They can be deployed temporarily, maybe in areas that don't have permanent infrastructure yet, or for pilot projects or specific events.
Like a hydrogen pop-up shop.
Kind of, yeah. It offers flexibility, especially during the build-out phase of the network.
And you also mentioned EPC services earlier. Remind us what that is.
Ah, yes, EPC. That stands for Engineering, Procurement, and Construction. These are companies that basically offer the whole package for developing a station.
A one-stop shop.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
They handle the designs, sourcing all the equipment, managing the contractors, building the station, getting it commissioned, an end-to-end solution.
Okay, that makes sense for companies wanting to get into this space. And just quickly, what are the absolute core bits of hardware in these stations?
The really essential components are the compressors. You need those to get the hydrogen up to the right pressure for storage and dispensing. Then you need storage tanks, often high-pressure vessels. And finally, the dispensers themselves, the part you connect to the car to actually refuel.
Compressor, storage, dispenser. Got it. Okay, zoom out again. How is this playing out globally? Are certain regions moving faster than others?
Definitely seeing some regional hotspots. The United States, for instance, is experiencing pretty rapid growth. This is really pushed by strong policies, both federal and state level, aimed at cutting carbon emissions.
And within the U.S.?
California is the clear leader, no question. They have the most operating stations by far and are still investing heavily in building out more infrastructure. They set aggressive targets.
Right. California often leads on green tech in the U.S.
Yeah.
What about Europe? Who's making moves there?
Germany is really positioning itself as a leader in Europe's hydrogen economy. They've got a national hydrogen strategy with substantial government funding earmarked specifically for infrastructure, plus a strong focus on R&D.
A strategic push from Germany. Okay, let's head over to Asia. China's making big climate commitments. How does hydrogen fit in there?
China is making really significant strides in building hydrogen infrastructure. It's a key part of their plan to reach carbon neutrality.
How are they supporting it?
Through strong government backing, financial incentives, large-scale investment programs, and crucially, their push for hydrogen vehicles, fuel cell vehicles, is a major driver for building the fueling stations. They see the synergy.
Tackling both supply and demand together. Makes sense. What about Japan? They've talked about a hydrogen society for years.
Japan has indeed been a global pioneer in this space. They've had this vision of a hydrogen society for a long time. The government actively subsidizes station construction, and offers good incentives for people to buy FCVs. They're really trying to make that vision a reality.
So long-term commitment there. And South Korea.
South Korea is also very active. They're aggressively building out their hydrogen infrastructure, again, driven by government policies and significant investments, largely to support their own domestic FCV manufacturers and market growth.
It's fascinating, isn't it, seeing these different national strategies all pushing towards hydrogen, but maybe with slightly different focuses. Okay, who are the companies actually doing the building, the innovating, the key players?
Well, you see some big established names in the industrial gas sector heavily involved. Companies like Air Liquid, Air Products and Chemicals, Linde, PSLC, these are major players.
The industrial gas giants.
Exactly. And then you also have more specialized technology providers like Nel ASA, for example, known for their electrolyzers and fueling equipment.
We hear those names a lot in energy transition discussions. What specific roles are they playing here? Is it just building stations?
They're doing more than just building. They're really driving innovation across the whole chain, from hydrogen production methods to distribution logistics, and then, yes, the station technology itself. They are fundamental to getting this global infrastructure off the ground.
So involved from, like, molecule to nozzle, basically.
You could say that, yeah. And companies like Air Liquid, Air Products, and Linde Air, they really offer very comprehensive solutions. They can handle the production, the transport, the station design, build, operation, the whole package. They're a key system integrators right now.
Okay. So bringing it all together, what's the big picture view? What does this rapid growth in hydrogen fueling infrastructure really signify?
I think the main takeaway is that developing and rolling out these fueling stations is seen as absolutely crucial for building a low carbon future. It's not just about refueling cars.
It's bigger than that?
Much bigger. These stations represent a really critical piece of the puzzle in transforming our entire energy system, particularly transportation, towards something more sustainable.
So investing here is basically investing in enabling that wider transition.
Precisely. As the world pushes harder towards zero emission solutions for vehicles, for industry, having this hydrogen infrastructure in place is expected to be vital. It helps foster greener businesses, greener transport, greener lifestyles. It's an enabler.
Well, this has been a really insightful look at the hydrogen fueling station market. Thanks to Hydrogen Informs for the data and analysis that framed our discussion today.
Yeah, it's clear there's significant momentum here. That projected growth to nearly $2.9 billion by 2030 really highlights how central this is becoming to the clean energy conversation.
Absolutely. And if you listening want to keep up with the trends, the insights, the news in this really fast-moving world of hydrogen and fuel cells, you should definitely check out Hydrogen Informs at hydrogeninforms.com.
It's a great resource, yeah. Lots of detailed information there for anyone tracking this industry.
So we'll leave you with a final thought to ponder. As this hydrogen fueling infrastructure continues to expand, what other innovations or perhaps policy changes do you think will be most critical to really accelerate the widespread adoption of hydrogen fuel cell technology? Something to think about.